See, that's the name the beast will have written on his heads. Jesus Christ. That's the name he bears. And they will think that that is who he is. And just like the whore, I sit a queen and am no widow. She doesn't think she's the great whore. She thinks she's the queen of the world. She thinks she's the bride of Christ. So, despite the fact that these signals are very clear and will alert the world that the end is here, the wicked will not understand, but the wise will understand. As the prophet Jeremiah says, you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you. How shall you contend with horses? You know, if in this time of peace you cannot walk with God, how do you expect to walk with God in the time of trouble? That it's not just this kind of raw knowledge is not going to save people. Because the grace and mercy of God is what saves people. Just because if they were able to turn to the book of Revelation and say, wow, it's the end of the world, does not mean that they're going to be saved. Doesn't at all. It's no guarantee of anything. Let's proceed into these trumpets a bit. The trumpets, clear signals of what, of the fact that of what's going on. Oh, I also want to mention in verse 5, there are voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. That's interesting, because after the seventh seal, there are voices and lightnings and thunderings and an earthquake. And after the seventh trumpet, there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake and great hail. And there's hail at that point, which is interesting because it's not mentioned here. And the same, but, well, it is mentioned here. Here's an interesting thing. When Jesus Christ comes, there's voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake and great hail. And you look here at the beginning, when the first trumpet sounds, because this is the first true sign that the end is upon us, is the first trumpet. And what is the first thing that follows? Hail and fire mingle with blood. Now, the hail described in the 16th chapter of Revelation is as each stone about the weight of a talent. And I've heard that, that's something like 100 pounds. So ridiculously large hail. Whereas here now, people, meteorologists must say, well, that's impossible. What if this hail, I mean, well, for one, God can make miracles. But for two, if it was a natural effect, what if it's like some sort of a disintegrated comet that brings about these 100-pound hailstones? A hailstone is just a ball of ice hitting the earth. Comets are big balls of ice. What if a comet was disintegrated and there was a large amount of hail? Or what if it's a small comet? Well, anyways, I want to get to that. I want to draw your attention to that because at the end of the world, when Christ appears, there's going to be voices and thunderings and lightnings and earthquake. And also, at the beginning, it's almost the same. So it's going to seem like the end at the beginning. That's worth noting. At the beginning of the tribulation, it's going to seem like the end of the tribulation. That's why, and people will point to that and they'll think that that's why they'll be ready to accept the Antichrist. They'll think after the trumpets sound that that's it. It's over. You know, and here's Jesus. They will think that the disasters brought about by the trumpets are the tribulation. And that when the false Christ appears, that it's all over. And it will seem to be. And the deception will be so great that if God did not preserve the elect, they also would be deceived. So the first angel sounded, there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees was burnt up. And all green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. I want to hold it there. I want to cover the first two at once. We have hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees was burnt up, and the all green grass was burnt up. There's a lot of ways you can interpret that. One, as a purely miraculous event. Fire and ice from the sky, and blood, raining blood. That would definitely get people's eyes to open. But it could be purely in a naturalistic kind of way. You could have, I was mentioning a comet. What if some sort of, you know, interstellar object was out there, and it was broken up? And so that, you know, there was a significant or some sort of significant hail and rock combination on fire coming down out of the sky and then raining down, striking. This could be bad enough that it could cause injury to man and beast and therefore cause blood to be shed. The blood could come from people on the earth or animals who are struck by this. And that would cause the blood to be mingled with the hail and the fire. What it could be saying is that this is a violent and killing hail, or wounding at the least. But the fire causes massive amounts of damage to forests and greenery. We're talking about major environmental devastation from this. So this is no small thing. This is one of the reasons that offended me. Well, you know, I used to be a student in the Shepherd's Chapel, and I remember when I was back in 95, he said that we were in the fifth trumpet. And I was like, how did I miss the first four? And I went back looking and trying to figure out, well, when did these things happen? Or what is the symbolic meaning? And I couldn't find anything that made sense. But I've come to believe over a long period of time, and by the Spirit of God, that these things need to be fulfilled very literally. Because if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, how are we going to prepare ourselves? How are we going to know? That's the thing. It's only going to be revealed to an elite. Well, it says the foolish will not understand, but the wise will. Okay, well, that gives a lot of leeway. It comes down to this fact. It's like, look it. Do we take the word of someone who's been a false prophet and falsely prophesying for nearly a generation now? Or do we look at what God has given us and how he's instructed us and start thinking that we ourselves might understand this, and that maybe this is meant to be something we are to understand very clearly and literally, instead of, you know, trying to make this all into symbology? I rather suggest, think of this literally. Look for these events to happen. I believe they will. The second angel, as it were a great mountain burning with fire, was cast in the sea, and this third part of the sea became blood. You know, God turned the rivers of Egypt into blood. And he could certainly turn the sea into blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. I think that this is talking about some sort of rock, mountain-sized object falling from space into the sea. Which sea, I don't know. But whatever sea... You know, I'm sure there is some scientist out there who could tell us how big it would have to be to cause this level of devastation. Because it's obviously not a world-destroying thing. So it's not necessarily the size of, say, the biggest mountain in the world, but a great mountain. How big? Well, remember in Palestine, a lot of the mountains were not very big. But something maybe a mile across, less? I don't know. But it could seem very large. As it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast in the sea. To me, I imagine that something like a great mountain is what, as it were a great mountain. It didn't say necessarily like literally a mountain, but something that is like. That's interesting that they use as it were, something that appeared to be a great mountain and on fire. You know, what else really fits that description except some sort of meteor, large enough to cause this level of devastation? And then I wonder, how big would that have to be? A mile, a half mile? I mean, how big?